from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to the English service of Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia. This is Rahma on the mic, who will be presenting you various updates, information, programs, music, everything's taking you closer to Indonesia. From the news, we'll be continuing with quotes of the day. And also we have interesting programs such as Indonesian Wonder, Let's Speak Indonesian, and Music Corner. So stay tuned on voanews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and also shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. But first, as always, let's begin with the news.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. First, the headlines. Government targets Indonesia-EU trade deal to take effect in early 2027. Indonesia bids to host the 2026 FIFA ASEAN Cup. I'm Dika, and this is the news in details. The Indonesian government is targeting the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IEU-CEPA, to take effect in early 2027. The target follows the European Commission's move to submit proposals for the signing and conclusion of the IEU-CEPA, including the Investment Protection Agreement, or IPA, to the Council of the European Union. In an official statement on Thursday, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto encouraged Indonesia and the European Union to immediately build a free trade relationship that is fair and mutually beneficial. Airlangga said President Prabowo Subianto hopes the cooperation can become a game changer in the global market, while also driving stronger economic growth across the Indo-Pacific region. Indonesia is currently awaiting an official decision from the International Federation of Association Football, or FIFA, on its bid to host the prestigious 2026 FIFA ASEAN Cup, scheduled to take place from September to October 2026. Recognizing the significant opportunity and impact of hosting the tournament, Indonesia's Minister of Youth and Sports Erick Thohir said in Jakarta on Thursday that Indonesia will make the fullest preparations for the FIFA ASEAN Cup should it be selected as the host. He said the government has prepared two international standard stadiums, namely the Jakarta International Stadium and the Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium, as match venues. According to him, the readiness of these facilities is expected to leave a positive and lasting impression on all participating teams competing in Indonesia.
It's possible there's one more supporter besides Gelora Bung Karno. There are two, but we're still calculating which one meets FIFA standards.
The FIFA ASEAN Cup is the first tournament introduced by FIFA specifically for men's national teams in Southeast Asia. The tournament is designed to be held during the FIFA international match window, allowing each country to field its best squad and earn official points toward the FIFA rankings. Youth and Sports Minister Erick Thohir says sport tourism has the potential to become one of the driving forces behind Indonesia's economic growth. According to Erick, developing sport tourism will not only benefit the sports sector. It can also boost tourism, attract investment, strengthen small and medium-sized enterprises, and enhance Indonesia's image on the global stage. Erick made the remarks during a government press conference on priority program updates and strengthening the national sports ecosystem 2026 in Jakarta on Thursday. He said the global value of sport tourism is enormous and continues to grow. Indonesia, therefore, needs to seize this opportunity as part of its broader strategy to drive overall economic growth.
Sport tourism itu nilainya itu kurang lebih.
Sport tourism itself is valued at around $625 billion, or roughly 9,700 to 9,800 trillion rupiah globally. It is huge. Its growth is also estimated at around 8%. How many countries in the world are seeing economic growth of up to 8%? The president wants 8% growth. This means sport tourism must become one of the pillars, or at least an important part of overall economic growth.
Sport tourism ini mesti menjadi salah satu penonggak atau bagian daripada pertumbuhan ekonomi secara menyeluruh.
Erick pointed to various sporting events as example of how sport tourism can create a multiplier effect for host regions. The impact can be seen in higher hotel occupancy rates, increased transactions among small and medium-sized business, and greater investment in the areas hosting the event. He cited marathon events in several cities and the Mandalika MotoGP as clear examples of how sporting events can draw visitors while also stimulating local economies. According to Erick, this potential needs to be managed seriously through cross-sector collaboration so that every sporting event is not only successful on the field but also delivers sustainable economic benefits for the public. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon is encouraging Indonesian literary works to reach readers around the world by strengthening translation programs, supporting writers, and developing young translators and promoters. The move is seen as important not only to help literature grow at home, but also to make it a gateway for Indonesia's cultural diplomacy on the international stage. Ofra Regina has the full report.
The Ministry of Culture continues to push for Indonesian literature to gain greater recognition around the world. The effort includes strengthening the translation of literary works, developing the national literary ecosystem, and expanding support for Indonesian writers and literary practitioners. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon said in Jakarta on Thursday that internationalizing Indonesian literature is not only about producing quality works. These works also need to be translated and promoted so they can be accessed by international readers. He said the government is strengthening the role of young translators and promoters as an important part of the national literary ecosystem.
In addition, we continue to explore ways to internationalize the Indonesian language and Indonesian literature by producing translators and young promoters. This is an important part of the ecosystem's chain. We support writers' participation in international festivals, and we also provide a translation funding program, TFT, for foreign parties who purchase the copyrights to Indonesian literary works.
Fadli Zon added that supporting writers to take part in international literary festivals is also a strategic step to broaden the reach of Indonesian works. Besides opening up market opportunities, the presence of Indonesian writers at global forums is expected to strengthen the exchange of ideas and introduce Indonesia's cultural richness. The government is also preparing translation funding support for foreign parties that purchase the copyrights to Indonesian literary works. The scheme is expected to encourage more overseas publishers to translate and publish works by Indonesian writers. According to Fadli, translating classic works of Indonesian literature is also part of the Ministry of Culture's commitment to making literature one of the pillars of national cultural advancement. He said that when an Indonesian literary work is read by people around the world, it introduces not only a story or its writer, but also Indonesia's perspectives, values, history, and identity to global readers.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko signed 7 agreements when Prabowo received Lukashenko at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. The two countries also signed a roadmap for the development of Indonesia-Belarus cooperation from 2026 to 2030. In a joint press statement after the signing, President Lukashenko said Indonesia will always remain one of Belarus' important partners in Southeast Asia.
And today, at international forums, Minsk and Jakarta demonstrate shared goals and support one another. Indonesia has been, is, and will, of course, remain one of Belarus's key partners in Southeast Asia. And you know, if we had just one friend like Indonesia, that would be enough for us.
The cooperation agreement signed cover health, culture, national accreditation, financial transaction reporting, industry, science and technology, as well as financial services. On the same occasion, Prabowo said Belarus is an important partner for Indonesia in Eurasia and expressed hope that the cooperation will benefit both countries. Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Keyword of the day. One can be great only when he changes the world into a better place. A quote by Bung Tomo. Bung Tomo is an Indonesian national hero. He played a crucial role in maintaining Indonesian independence. He is known for his blazing spirit for revolution and consistency in fighting the colonizers. He moved through physical struggle and propaganda. Bung Tomo's famous speech burned the spirit of youths and Islamic boarding school students. He also showed creativity in formulating strategy while showing honesty and integrity. That was Quote of the Day from Voice of Indonesia.
Sudah kata kan cinta sudah ku bilang sayang namun Voice of Indonesia.
Light is hunted at hot afternoon or before breaking the fast. It is made of coconut milk, shaved ice, and liquid sugar. There are also slices of avocado, young coconut, and frozen mung bean juice called Hunkwe. The taste is surely very fresh and sweet. What is the name of this food? As Goyobot from Bandung, West Java. It is said that this dessert has been there even before Indonesia's independence.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ada manusia yang terlahir sempurna. Jangan kau sesali segala yang telah terjadi. Kita pasti pernah dapatkan cobaan yang berat. Seakan hidup ini tak ada artinya lagi. Syukuri apa yang ada, hidup adalah anugerah. Tetap jalani hidup ini, melakukan yang terbaik. Ada manusia yang terlahir sempurna. Jangan kau sesali segala yang telah terjadi. Syukuri apa yang ada, hidup adalah anugerah. Tetap jalani menyerah.
Thank you for still joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, a program that will take you closer to Indonesian art, culture, custom, food, tourist destinations, all on Indonesian Wonder.
RRI Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
The history of the rich culture of Indonesia dates back to the Megalithic era, a ritual of a strong warrior that shows maturity, power, strength, and pride. More than just a physical ritual challenge, but also a sign of value, culture, and respect, this is Indonesia Lompat Batu Nias. Lompat Batu Nias, or stone jumping tradition from Nias Island, Indonesia, is a traditional practice specifically for young men of the Nias people, historically used as a rite of passage into adulthood. A success of jumping over the specially constructed stones indicates that the youth has achieved physical maturity, bravery, and readiness to take on societal responsibilities, including marriages and historically military role. The young people starting around ages 7 until 10, boys undergo physical training, gradually increasing jump heights to develop strength, agility, and technique. Mental preparation, including focus and overcoming fear, is equally emphasized in this one. The ritual process, which is the stone jump, is the key challenge. It is a stacked stone structure averaging 2 meters in height and 40 until 60 centimeters in thickness, sometimes shaped like a pyramidal monument with a flat top. The young man must clear it in a single jump without touching the top, ensuring a controlled landing, and those who succeed are celebrated by the community, and they are formally recognized as a man capable of adult responsibilities, symbolizing courage, power, discipline, and social maturity. Families may hold a festive in honor of the achievement. And that's all about Lompat Batu Nias. I'm Gatan from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yeah, so plastic pollution impacts ecosystems on a massive scale. In COPSI, we specifically work on protecting and sustainably developing the marine environments. We also focus on some of the most vulnerable habitats, including coral reefs and mangroves. Mm-hmm. We also more broadly know that plastics can be ingested by mammals, fish, birds, both by having toxic and mechanical effects. So we have all seen pictures of kind of turtles with straws in their nose or plastic can connectors restricting animal movements. So these are just some ways that plastics are impacting the environment. But as you mentioned, like, these are happening also on many different scales. Yeah, so I think we really need to move towards a circular economy approach. So looking at the whole site, a life cycle of plastic. What this means is looking at product design, production, how we use plastics, and how we dispose of plastics in a way that really does not harm the environment. So that means looking at all of these different stages and how we can reduce plastic entering the environment in different ways.
Thank you for still joining us, the English service of Voice of Indonesia that you can enjoy on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Listener, next we present a program that allows you to learn Indonesian language. It's only on Let's Speak Indonesia.
Hello everyone, my name is Ray, and today we're going to learn about the Indonesian alphabet. Let's begin. I, which can be used for ikan, iklim, ikat. Let's continue. J, which can be used for jari, cerapa, jeruk. That's it for now, and see you in another episode.
Listener, here is the Woman of Indonesia, a special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Karina Jo. Karina Citra Dewi Jo, or simply known as Karina Jo, is an Indonesian scientist and researcher recognized for her pivotal role in the development of the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. Karina Jo is known for her contribution to the development of the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. She played an important role in enabling the vaccine to be produced and distributed globally, helping many countries respond to the pandemic. On April 21, 1989, Karina Citra Dewi Jo was born in Jakarta, Indonesia. From a young age, she showed strong academic ability and a deep interest in science, especially biotechnology. Karina Jo spent her early academic years showing strong interest in science, particularly in biotechnology. She completed her education at a young age through an accelerated program before continuing her studies abroad. Karina pursued biotechnology at the University of Hong Kong, where she developed her scientific foundation and later continued her postgraduate studies in Australia, strengthening her expertise in research and innovation. She continued her scientific career internationally and later joined the Jenner Institute at the University of Oxford. There, she became part of a team developing vaccine and contributed significantly to the production process of the COVID-19 vaccine during the global pandemic. Karina Jo began her international scientific career by working in several research institutions, where she developed her expertise in biotechnology and vaccine production. She later joined the Jenner Institute at the University of Oxford, where she became part of a team working on vaccine development. In her scientific career, she became part of global efforts in developing and producing vaccines, contributing to international collaboration in addressing the COVID-19 pandemic. What made her particularly remarkable was that she was involved in one of the most important global health efforts at the relatively young age, contributing to the development of a widely used COVID-19 vaccine. Through her work, she played a crucial role in supporting global health responses during the pandemic, contributing to vaccine production that helped many countries manage the crisis. In her scientific role, Karina Jo became part of a global efforts in addressing one of the biggest health crises in modern history. She contributed to the development and production of the Oxford-AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, which played an important role in helping countries respond to the pandemic. Her dedication and expertise have been widely recognized as she contributed to a vaccine that was distributed globally and used by many countries. Through her work, she supported international collaboration in science and public health, especially during a critical time when the world was facing a pandemic. For her contribution to global health and scientific innovation, Karina Jo has been recognized as one of the Indonesian figures who made a significant impact during the COVID-19 pandemic, marking her role in one of the most important global health efforts in recent history. From her journey in science, we can understand that Karina Jo represents dedication, innovation, and a strong commitment to global health and scientific collaboration in addressing worldwide challenges. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Karina Jo. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Come stop the crying, it'll be alright. Just take my hand, hold it tight. I will protect you from all around you. I will be here, don't you cry. For once so small, you seem so strong. My arms will hold you, keep you safe and warm. This bond between us can't be broken. I will be here, don't you cry. 'Cause you'll be in my heart. Yes, you'll be in my heart. From this day on, now and forevermore.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song by Rahmania Astrini. Rahmania Astrini, usually called Astri, was born on July 4, 2001 in Northampton, Massachusetts, United States. Though was born there, she is actually an Indonesian citizen. The singer and songwriter now lives in Jakarta. Her name began to be known after releasing her first single, Menua Bersama, or Growing Old Together, in 2017. After that, Astri continued to produce works that were quite well received by Indonesian music lovers. Moreover, in November 2023, she made history in her music journey by becoming the opening act for Coldplay's concert at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta. On September 9, 2024, she released a new single with English lyrics entitled Love Me Like You. This love theme song was written by Rahmania Astrini with Tricia Clarissa and Fatan Maulana as producers. Love Me Like You carries a typical 2000s R&B style with a music video featuring dance choreography by Hamada Abdul. Well, listener, let's enjoy the latest single by Rahmania Astrini, Love Me Like You. Enjoy!
Doesn't matter what they say about us. You got me all in my feels. You got me head over heels for you, for you. There is nothing I wouldn't do. Don't worry, boy, 'cause being you together sounds real good. Say that you want me too. When we're together,
that's a wrap today's program of English service from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any feedback to send, you can send it to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, or send a direct message, mention us on social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. Follow us as well on TikTok at VOI_official and subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. And you can also reach us on WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.